morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very, very busy show today. As always, on Thursdays, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here at 11:06 for public service announcements. And then Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company joins us at 11:30 to talk a little bit about sports. Very excited, though, to start off the hour. She is the longtime CEO, and I've had the opportunity to work with her many times over the years. Sherry Tussler is here from the Hunger Task Force. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Big news. After 26 years, you have finally decided to retire. That news came down this week, and so I made the reach, and I appreciate you squeezing us in. I'm sure you've had all kinds of requests to join various media outlets to talk about your 26 years with the Hunger Task Force. First of all, congratulations.
Thanks so much. I'm really excited about the new chapter in my life.
I bet. And the something that I had seen mentioned that you first started thinking about retiring about 3 years ago, and then you elected to stay on. Why was that?
Well, we had that crazy little pandemic, and we were all essential, so there was no not coming in during that time. And I needed to work, as did our entire team. And we committed some miracles in those last couple of years, frankly. So it feels really good to sort of go out knowing that I made a big difference then.
Oh, you absolutely made a big difference. Again, 26 years as head of the Hunger Task Force, I can't even imagine all of the changes that you have seen over the decades. I mean, what was it like when you first started there?
Well, there were 20 employees. We were broke and we were out of food. So that's not a good place to start as a food bank director, but we figured it out. And we became the trusted administrator for the federal commodity programs here in Milwaukee, which made a big difference. As the years went on, different opportunities arose, and we took some folk up on them, things like the farm, our mobile market. Made, I think, very large strides with our food pantry network. It truly is a network of nonprofit organizations and faith-based ministries who all work together and have the same core values and treat people with dignity here in Milwaukee County. So there's a lot to be proud of.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I can imagine too, Sherry, that the number of people who are needing assistance is not going down.
Well, it did go down during the pandemic, because we gave people emergency food share benefits. So we increased the amount of money that we put on that debit card for a food share. And as a result, people could go to the grocery store and didn't have to depend on a food pantry. But what happened is the pandemic ends, we take away their emergency benefits, and our numbers have doubled, frankly, since 2 years ago.
They've doubled.
Doubled.
And I'm always concerned, Sherry, when we talk about people who are asking for assistance, and I think there are misconceptions about who uses food pantries, who uses the Hunger Task Force. Can you talk about some of the clients and what their circumstances are?
Well, half of them are children. And so we know that they can't get jobs. They should probably be in school. 42% of the people here in Milwaukee County that are on food share are elderly, blind, or disabled. So they can't work.
Wait, I just want to reiterate that. 42%. Mm-hmm. Are blind, disabled,
or older adults.
That's shocking.
Well, and it's sad because, you know, you shouldn't be living entrenched in poverty your entire life just because you have a disability. The elderly living on Social Security and trying to make ends meet, paying property taxes, health insurance, utilities, all that stuff makes for just a less than pleasant golden retirement.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think people are better educated now about who is accessing these services? Because, again, I think there were a lot of misconceptions about, well, these are just lazy people. These are just lazy people who don't want to work and they want handouts and they're, you know, lying in their hammocks and they just, you know, they just want freebies.
Well, I'm hoping that pandemic taught a lot of people a lesson about how those federal programs are there for people who lose their jobs suddenly, because a lot of people lost their jobs very suddenly, and the total number of people on food share and who also got Badger Care increased so dramatically that pretty much everyone knew someone who was on food share. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, that's a supportive program that helps people make ends meet.
Sherry Tesler is our guest. She's the CEO of the Hunger Task Force and just announced that she is going to be stepping down. She's going to be retiring come June. What is going to happen with the Hunger Task Force as you move on to other things? Who's going to be taking over in your stead?
Matt King is going to be our CEO. He is currently serving as our associate director, which is, you know, sort of our number two position here at Hunger Task Force. I've known Matt since he was 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
But Matt is now 42 years old, a married guy with a couple of kids at home. And he was the person who developed and operated our farm and then became the associate director during the pandemic. So Matt's got the strength and the ability to do this job.
Talk a little bit more specifically about the farm and how that all works.
Well, it was the Milwaukee County House of Correction work farm for a solid 50 years. And then the county board and the county executive at the time decided that it wasn't mission for the prison to have farmers on their staff. And so they were going to shutter the farm, but instead decided to lease the farm to the Hunger Task Force. And we ended up taking it over, hiring some farmers. And now we grow about 500,000 pounds of produce, both fruit and vegetables, that we distribute to our food pantry network absolutely free of charge.
That's huge. Just having the access to fresh produce, that's got to make a big difference for a lot of these folks.
It's all about health, too. You know, and if you're not eating fresh fruit and vegetables, then something's wrong with your diet. And so we like to be able to infuse those, and especially, you know, stuff that we've grown ourselves. It's a beautiful thing.
And I can also imagine that this stuff does not happen without an army of volunteers.
Oh, we just did a summary for our annual audit, and it's 15,000 volunteers.
15,000?
Yes. The value of their volunteerism was over $1.3 million.
That's astonishing.
That's amazing.
That really,
yeah, I just had some company in my office in the parking lot outside is filled right now. And he's like, what is going on here today? And I said, oh, the volunteers are here.
it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's just Thursday and we have volunteers here. A lot of corporations, school groups, friends and family groups. And we even have a group that we call the regulars, who are just individual volunteers who are all together on a specific day. And we have regulars out at the farm as well, and core groups that will go out to the farm and help us plant, weed, harvest, all of those products. And so volunteers are just sort of in the thick of it everywhere throughout the agency.
Well, and what's interesting, and Greg, we've talked about this in various forms over the last year and a half. We hear so much about loneliness and isolation among folks, especially because of the pandemic and even after the pandemic. So if you want to get involved and you want some human interaction and doing something wonderful that's going to make you feel good at the end of the day, volunteering for an organization like the Hunger Task Force is a great way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a network of over 40 food pantries here in Milwaukee County. There's the Waukesha Food Pantry as well. You can find a local organization that will welcome your help and actually needs your help in order to put everything together and serve people in need.
And if being outside is your thing, you can do that by volunteering at the farm, working outside. What a great way to get your kids involved. Yep. Just with the whole process of gardening and what that means and where does our food actually come from and what it takes to grow things. I just think that's terrific. I'm just blown away that you have 15,000 volunteers. What a testament to your organization and the good reputation that you have.
Yeah, that's a fact. I would say that over time, I think probably about 15 years ago, we first were called an institution instead of a nonprofit. And we were paired up with groups like the Public Museum or the Zoo or Discovery World in the eyes of our donors and our funders, particularly corporations who said, no, just imagine Milwaukee without Hunger Task Force.
I couldn't.
30,000 people who are getting emergency food. There's 10,000 seniors that are getting a monthly box of food from us. People are getting assistance to sign up for and maintain those food share and healthcare benefits. there's like a lot that's going on that the Hunger Task Force has done and will continue to do into the future.
Well, and it's interesting that you point that out, Sherry, because so it's more than just handing out a box of food. It's actually, you also have a component now that helps people navigate the way to get assistance, it sounds like.
We're operating 3 self-service welfare offices here in Milwaukee County where you just walk in, you use our equipment, you get stuck on something, we help you out. Everything is automated now. So it's not like you have to sit down and go through an in-person interview, but you can get in-person help if you need it. And we speak, are you ready for this? 12 languages.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
So what languages do you encompass?
Spanish, Hmong, Lao, Filipino, Burmese, Karen, Pashto, Dari, Russian, Ukrainian, Slovenian.
Wow.
And don't forget English.
Well,
what?
There's 12.
Well, I speak English. I don't know about some of those other people, but yeah, it's important because new arrivals and first generation people here in the U.S., they don't understand what the heck's going on.
Sure.
And they need somebody who looks like them and talks like them to work with them.
Well, and again, to navigate them through this system, brand new country, brand new language, brand new organizations, it's got to be a lot to try and navigate your way through. So that's tremendous. We have about a minute and a half before we go to the break. I would like you to stay just for one more shorter segment and talk about what you're going to do next. You had mentioned that you have hobbies. I know one of your hobbies is rehabbing houses, and you've taken on some really big projects in Milwaukee over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, in my neighborhood, I've rehabbed 5 houses, including the one I live in.
5.
5.
Whoa!
And these are not little bungalows. These are some impressive homes. We'll talk more about this when we return. Sherry Tesler is our guest. She's the CEO of the Hunger Task Force. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Else to do about it. Jane goes to the store at 8. She walks up on St. Andrews. She waits and gets a dinner there. She pulls a dinner from her
life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, coming to you live from our studio. In downtown Waukesha, my chair just completely dropped. That was like going on a little ride at the fair. Sherry Tesler is the CEO of the Hunger Task Force. She is our guest. She has been with the Hunger Task Force for 26 years, and in June, she is going to be retiring. I have to imagine, Sherry, that your job has never been a 40-hour-a-week job.
That is a fact. And so one of the things I'm looking forward to is throwing my alarm clock away.
I bet. I mean, where are you working 80, 90 hours a week?
You know, during the pandemic, it was just like all we did was sleep and work. So, yeah, it's been a lot.
I completely appreciate the throwing the alarm clock away because I used to get up in the middle of the night to go to work. I don't have to do that anymore. So, yeah, it's a... Sleep is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. You don't want to fight the body clock that hard.
Exactly. Exactly. So are you going to be, now we were talking about your hobby of rehabbing houses, and you've done big houses. These aren't little bungalows. These are some of the grander old Milwaukee homes, right?
Yeah. The house I live in is a Victorian Gothic. And then there was a drug house a block away, and it was vacant for a bit, and so I bought it and rehabbed it. And then there was another Victorian house another block away, so I bought it and rehabbed it. I always try selling to homeowners, and so every house in my neighborhood, which is Merrill Park, has been rehabilitated and sold to a homeowner.
Oh, that's awesome.
It creates great neighbors.
And it makes such a difference for the neighborhood when you have ownership, when you have buy-in like that.
Absolutely. The one across the street had burned and was sitting vacant for 3 years. And finally the city said, why don't you rehab it? And I'm like, I didn't know you could rehab a burned out house. But then I got on the list for rehabbing burned out houses.
I didn't realize that that was possible either.
So did they... Do they just hand you the keys?
There was a tree growing out of the attic.
Oh, wow.
There's a special feature that you don't often find in homes.
Right. But now it's occupied by the wonderful couple, and I really appreciate having them as neighbors.
Well, in all of the hours that you were working, when on earth did you have spare time to scrape paint?
Well, my brother is a carpenter.
Oh, that helps.
And one of my neighbors was there, and we just figured it out. And then when I had PTO, you know, it usually involved a dumpster.
A glamorous life, Sherry Tesler. A glamorous, glamorous life. So I want to talk a little bit more about rehabbing burnt out buildings. What about the smell? Not an issue?
No. It's been raining for a long time inside of it before that.
So that kind of takes care of it. So
yeah, it's not like freshly burned.
I suppose.
Right. These were houses that would sit for 3 to 5 years.
So by
it would rain and snow inside of them. And
do they just hand you the keys and say, go for it? Or do you buy it for a dollar? Or is there an agreement as a person on the list of burned out homes?
The guy who is responsible for the demolition of the burned out homes would call me and say, hey, this one I think is like you.
I think this is you.
Thank you. I don't know what that means.
He said he always liked the little touches that I did.
Oh, what a wonderful compliment. So will there be more house rehabbing in your future after you retire?
I'm rehabbing a house I'm going to move into.
You are?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it here or are you moving like out of the city or not asking for your home address, but.
Right. It's in Racine.
Oh, welcome to the lower southeastern part of Wisconsin, friend.
Well, you know, I grew up down there, so welcome it's nothing back. New to me, but it's off of the bluff of Lake Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice.
Well, then.
So every day I get to go walk on the beach.
How lovely.
That's so cool.
And there are it's like so many communities in Wisconsin, there are magnificent old homes in Racine.
Yes.
Just magnificent.
Yes. Racine is better than anyone thinks. It's a beautiful city.
As far as architecture and stuff like that, yeah, it's really incredible. So what else is on your list of hobbies? Bibbs, you're going to start skydiving or?
No. I'm afraid of heights and I don't like drowning. So those are things I'll stay away from. But
who likes drowning?
Deep water scares me.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
High bridges, stuff like that.
Sure. I'm with you on the bridges.
Yeah. I have a couple of daughters that I'll be able to spend a little bit more time with. One lives out in Portland. So watch out, Madeline. I'm coming to see you.
Do a little traveling.
I have a giant yard that will need some care. And I'm just going to settle in for a little bit. I get the entire summer off. And then in the fall, I come back to work part time. So I'm going to be here to support Matt and the other executives at the Hunger Task Force, and then transition, you know, the knowledge base,
sure. The
stuff, you know, the people, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So I can work for them part-time for as long as a year, and do that transition and make sure that everything with Hunger Task Force is in good shape.
And that makes so much sense, Sherry, too, that with the institutional knowledge. And as you said, so much of the work you do is about relationships, right? And building relationships with community leaders.
Exactly. And some people, you know, you can just pick up the phone because you've known this person forever and they go, yeah, sure, let's do this or, you know, no problem. And making that magic happen is easy to do after 26 years. And so it's not going to be quite as easy for some of our newer staff. So I'll be there to help.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you will be, are you an emeritus title? Do you get a?
Yeah. CEO Emeritus.
CEO Emeritus. That's got to feel pretty good.
It does.
I bet.
It does.
I bet.
I never thought I'd get there.
Sherry, I'm not saying you have to do this or don't even ask for permission. Your first day back as CEO Emeritus part-time, just show up with a cape, a cool hat, you know, stroking a cat, be like, I'm here to work.
It's an opportunity to lord your new position. Yes, the emeritus is very fancy sounding. So
it does, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. Well, thank you for all the work you've done for Southeastern Wisconsin and for the Hunger Task Force. I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to talk to you off and on over the years. Please tell Matt King that we are happy to work with the Hunger Task Force going forward. Anything you need from us, all you have to do is let us know. And all the best to you, Sherry, and rehabbing houses and working in your yard, and you've earned it. I hope you really enjoy it.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you, Jane.
Thank you, Sherry Tussler, the CEO of the Hunger Task Force, soon to be an emeritus.
A wizard
has been our guest. We have news coming up next. Don't go away. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You think you've flown before, but baby, you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. And you're gonna be mine.
Richland Center, listening on WRCE or in Oshkosh Air Support on WISS. Jane Matnair, Greg Bach, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you would like to call or text, please do. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY? Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well. You can watch the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Sherry Tussler, the CEO of the Hunger Task Force, was our guest for the first half hour of the show. After 26 years with the Hunger Task Force, she is going to retire in June and continue to do wonderful, amazing things. But we were talking about she's rehabbed like 5 houses over the years. And these are big, old Victorian houses. And when I don't know how she had the energy to do that, working 80 to 90 hours a week and then go strip wallpaper and pull out carpet tacks.
I know I work a lot, not 80 to 90 hours a week, I don't think. When I get home at night, I always have like, yeah, I'm gonna go in the garage today and put up this thing, and I'm gonna go down the basement and just clean up this thing, and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do like 2 or 3 things, and then I'll feel accomplished and I'll feel like I've earned the right to sit. I get home, my dog's like, hey dad, and I'm like, what did I want to do again?
Let's go play.
Let's watch TV and play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Papa Rico on the live stream. I've rehabbed 6 houses now. Good for you.
Dang.
This is a good way for the younger generation to own their first home. And also, Papa Rico, you really own it after putting in your own blood, sweat, and tears. You're absolutely right. My husband and I worked on our house for 8 months before we moved in.
Dang.
And we had to do everything. It was the ugliest house on the block by far.
That's another thing. When Bridget and I went looking for a house, we told our real estate agent, no fixer-uppers, turnkey, ready to walk through the door. Because neither of us have the time, and we don't have the time to do major renovations ourselves, and we don't have the time to pay someone else to do major renovations. So we really needed something that was ready to go.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like that. But we talked to Mike Ruzicka just a couple of weeks ago from the Greater Milwaukee Realtors Association. That was the demand a couple of years ago. It's got to be turnkey ready.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do anything.
Yeah.
That has changed a little bit now with more people being more willing to look at houses that need some work. And I'm telling you, you know, one of the reasons we got our house for the price we paid for it was because it needed so much work. We didn't do major things. You know, we stripped wallpaper, we painted, we redid the moldings, we pulled out the, you know, pulled up the carpets and stuff like that. And then we hired folks.
Yeah.
But if you can do it, and Rico's right, it's yours. It's so much more yours if you can put a little blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Well, and from an economic standpoint, too, you're going to get the house for far less.
Yep.
If you do it right, or at least make it look good, and then bring people in to put stuff into code, your value starts going up immediately.
Definitely.
I mean, my friends are in the same situation as you. They needed a whole new roof. They were missing parts of the roof, but they didn't do that part. They did everything else, though.
Yes.
And they bought that house for, I don't know, like 30% under what anyone else would have bought a house for
it needed the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can do that, that's great. Something to consider if you are house hunting right now. So, and you're willing to put a little sweat equity into it.
YouTube, baby. YouTube has amazing free tutorials on almost everything in a house.
My husband has said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you go online and you just look up a product. If you need to put it together, a project in your house, there are people out there who have just put together hours of footage of, hey, do you want to change your carpet? Do you want to sand your floor? Do you want to paint your walls professional looking? Not just whatever. Watch these videos and they're all there.
That's pretty great. Yeah, that's pretty great. School on YouTube.
Exactly.
School on YouTube. Okay, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. Coming up at 10:50, I'm very excited about our new segment called Maybe You Should Yell at This Guy. That's in just a couple of minutes.
We got to write all these segments down, which I'm fine with. I love it because it's, you know, it's fun. We're building a universe.
There you go.
We'll call it the MCU, the Matinair Cinema, MRU, the Matinair Radio Universe.
I'm liking that.
And we have our characters. We have our segments. We have our songs.
All we need is merch. Yeah, we'll get on
All that. We need is merch.
Back to Wisconsin politics, just briefly. Democrats, this is from Scott Bauer from the Associated Press, Democrats appealing a judge's dismissal of their lawsuit. They want Wisconsin voters to be able to return absentee ballots in drop boxes. Those got barred in 2022 after criticism by former President Donald Trump. Now, remember in 2020 what was happening?
No.
During that election.
What was happening?
The pandemic.
Oh, I don't believe
the
in that.
The global pandemic.
Oh, that's on
flat. That killed a million people.
You mean a fake pandemic? A fake pandemic on flat Earth? I don't believe
it. Yeah, that was going to disappear like a miracle.
In April when it was warm.
Mm-hmm. Just in time for Easter.
Ugh, God.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So anyway, yes, we used drop boxes in 2020 because we were in the midst of a global pandemic where we were supposed to stay home so we did not spread this deadly virus.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after President Biden won, the blame went to, well, it was the drop boxes.
Yeah.
It must have been the drop boxes.
And
everybody was cheating.
And banking your votes.
Which now.
Yep.
Which now the Republicans are embracing.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, if you go to Twitter and just check out the GOP leaders, Brian Shimmering. Thank you. And those crowds, they are, oh my gosh, they will not shut up about banking the votes. And literally a year and a half ago, they equated it to stealing elections, anti-American, and all of a sudden just boop, boop, we're for it now.
Yeah. We're for it.
So let's include the ballot boxes.
It will be interesting to see because I think there are still people who genuinely believe that that's what leads to cheating. And they were indoctrinated with this message that ballot boxes are dangerous. Ballot boxes mean fraud. The same thing with mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
That's how fraud happens. We can't allow that.
We've only been doing that for decades upon decades.
Well, I'm trying to think of the states that are completely almost mail-in only.
think Oregon is.
And Dropboxes are pretty ubiquitous in a whole bunch of other states. It's not like we just Wisconsinites invented this and said, "Oh, let's do this. Let's put up Dropboxes. It's never been done before." Attorneys for the National Democratic firm, the Elias Law Group, filed notice this week. It is appealing the judge's ruling last week, dismissing claims challenging the constitutionality of several voting rules here in Wisconsin. Dane County Circuit Judge Ann Peacock ruling the lawsuit didn't meet the high burden required to declare the voting rules being challenged were unconstitutional in every application. She said, quote, "I leave any revisiting of that decision to the Wisconsin Supreme Court."
Oh, boy, bring on my favorite group, the Supremes.
Of course, the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to a majority liberal control in spring with the trouncing that Justice Janet gave to her challenger. How quickly Dan, we forget.
Dan the Professional Kelly.
That's right.
Good luck, everybody. You're screwed. I tried to warn you. I'm out of here. Peace out, smoke bomb, middle fingers running away.
In addition to, once again, legalizing drop boxes, this lawsuit would undo a requirement that a witness sign absentee ballots and that any problems with absentee ballots be corrected by the voter no later than 8 p.m. election day. The suit argues absentee voting is a right, not a privilege, and that state law not recognizing that violates the Wisconsin Constitution.
I say take it one step further, everybody, and I mean this. Let's get rid of voter ID as well.
Never going to happen.
I know, but there's no reason to have it. It was never a problem. It was a law put into place. Money was spent for something that was not a threat. And they've proven that over and over and over again through various reports, through various groups. Voter ID is a suppressive act. It is targeted, and it is unnecessary. I looked it up. There are seven states and then also the District of Columbia that have elections, all elections by mail. California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, and Washington.
Utah. They do this in Utah and it works just fine.
Yeah. It's like I said, the amount of work that would have to go into overthrowing an election from the beginning, you know, like from like mass voter fraud.
It would take an army.
It would take an army and it wouldn't work and people would fall apart and they'd start talking to each other. They'd go on Twitter and it. So yeah, we can do this. It's safe. It's our right.
It is our right.
So.
And like you say, voter ID will never go away. It just won't. I think that's firmly entrenched. But we should want people to vote.
Yeah. And there should be as much information as possible for voting so that even though we have a voter ID, which suppresses votes, it disenfranchises voters. There is available information at all points at anywhere you go that can tell you what you need to do, especially for those who are currently or just coming off papers and coming out of prison. If you're coming off papers, there's a lot of misinformation. I've dealt with this a lot when I was working for the Obama election. So many, lots of young men who I would ask them, "Are you registered to vote?" They say, "I'm on papers." When do you get off papers? You get off papers before the election. You can register to vote. Let's do it right now. I can register you right now and it'll be fine. You'll be able to vote when you come off papers. And they just thought, "I'm on papers. I never get to vote again."
Right.
And guess what? The lawmakers who think about elections as a right and they want to protect the process aren't out here telling these individuals that. They're just letting them sit in their homes.
If you have any questions, and we've mentioned this many, many times, and I mean this very sincerely, myvotewi.gov is one of the most useful websites. You want to make sure you're still on the voter rolls. You want to make sure who you're going to be voting for. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure, and
my your polling place.
Your polling place, all of that stuff. MyVoteWI.gov, check it out, utilize it, tell people about it. And again, it's just all the information you need is there.
I'm going there right now.
Every one of your representatives' phone numbers is there to all of their offices. And we've talked about this many times on the show, too. I I encourage people to call their lawmakers. Just be respectful. Don't be argumentative and don't be insulting.
And you're going to be talking to assistants, interns, no offense to them, but the lower level people who answer the phones. They didn't do to you what you are upset about.
And actually, you can keep that in mind anytime you have a complaint, pretty much anywhere.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
If something happened at a store and you don't like what happened, don't start screaming at the little checkout person. That's not their policy. They just work there.
Yeah.
Coming up at 11:06, as she is every Thursday, it will be time for our public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley. If you have any kind of health question that you want to ask her, feel free. You can call. You can text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream.
And also, just I had a question about this recently in the real world. If you are a man, you can call in.
Absolutely.
This is not just a segment directed to we often focus on women's health, women's,
specific issues.
Exactly. I didn't want to say issues. It sounded weird. But
concerns.
Thank you. Anyone can call in and ask the questions. So please do that if you need to.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. When we return, hey, maybe yell at this guy. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. It is the appiest of apps. And Greg Bach, it is what?
Free.
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. You can listen to all of the stations all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We have 20 stations around the state. And you can also, if you have the app, you can call and text directly from that at 844-967-2789. We were talking about an effort to restore drop boxes in Wisconsin, and we had a couple texts coming in from Andrew from Maine. Oregon has had mail-in voting since the 1990s. My dad would, though, take his ballot to the polls and cast there just because he's stubborn. And I know there are people who do that just because they like seeing their poll workers. They like seeing what the turnout is like. They just like the atmosphere of going to vote in person, which is great.
Another group of individuals, when you go to vote, whether you're dropping it off at City Hall or you're going to your polling place, be patient, be nice.
Be nice.
Smile. And after anyone you see, because you're going to be coming across a lot of elderly people giving up their day to be maybe the most hated person in someone's life that afternoon. Thank you for what you do.
Yes.
Thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you. Their faces will light up.
Just to be seen and recognized,
yeah.
And especially after the last couple of years with all the threats and hatred directed at our election workers.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, not shenanigans. It was far, far worse than shenanigans. So, yes, thank them. I think that's a wonderful idea.
We're wrong about the app. Sorry. It said, Papa Rico said it actually made my life better.
How nice.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's nice. Jack from Merrimack, Dropbox is a pejorative term for authorized ballot collection sites. As far as security is concerned, they're less likely to be broken into than United States Postal Service mailboxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll bring it back. We'll see what happens with that. This is a lawsuit still in progress. I did want to include this just because I saw it yesterday and it made me laugh. So this is our debut segment of, hey, why don't you yell at this guy?
Let's see here. I'll work on a theme song.
That's not it.
Okay.
I bring this up because we all know Representative Derek Van Orden from the 3rd District of Wisconsin.
Dork Van Orden.
Famously yelled at a group of Senate pages who were doing what seems to be a tradition at the end of their term, and they go into the Capitol Rotunda and they take pictures of the ceiling, which is supposed to be magnificent. And Derek Van Orden, who may or may not have had a few, was taking some friends through the giving them a tour of the Capitol and walked in on these kids taking pictures and started screaming at them and swearing at them and telling them how they were disrespecting these hallowed grounds.
As he's drinking.
I think he should yell at this guy. Representative Rich McCormick, a Republican from Georgia, has been reported to the House Sergeant at Arms after allegedly doing pull-ups hundreds of feet above the ground in the U.S. Capitol Dome.
288 feet up.
The complaint says that McCormick went past a sign that said no person permitted above this platform under any circumstances. Did it anyway. He was seen suspended over 200 feet in the air after going over a railing on the highest level of the Capitol Dome. His staff recorded him allegedly as he did pull-ups.
288 feet up, folks. That's 18 stories.
I have so many questions.
First of all, let's start where you were talking about with regard to the sign. There was posted signage saying, just don't, essentially.
Well, it's like you don't come past here and certainly don't climb over the railing and dangle 200 feet in the air so you can do some pull-ups.
You know what they're going to have to do now? They're going to have to create signage, create language, erect some sort of system which will not allow people to access that part of the building now, which will what? Cost money.
Our money.
Because that isn't it. What he did is an insurance nightmare. And shame on this man for doing this. It's not cool. It's not funny. I don't respect you anymore. I think you're a moron. And now what's going to happen is other people are going to see him doing it. And like you said, will there be pull-up contests?
Oh, I can see the challenges among our congressional lawmakers. I did 5 pull-ups dangling over the floor of the Capitol. How about you? And he blew it off. McCormick Wednesday said that the only thing I'll say is, you know, I'm pretty sure Teddy Roosevelt also did this, and I did 5 more reps than him. Ha, 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 ha.
Teddy Roosevelt never did that, for one thing. Shut up. Second of all, Teddy Roosevelt also did some really dumb things in his life, too. You can do everything Teddy Roosevelt did. You are a U.S. congressman, which I guess would mean that I would respect you a little less. But the point is, there are going to be repercussions, and this guy is an idiot.
Well, and unfortunately, I think there is going to be some high-fiving going on about manly men.
Yes.
See what a manly man I am? I'm a manly man. So I suspended myself from the dome of the Capitol and did pull-ups.
But you know who's going to come walking through the midst of all that high-fiving musky men?
No.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, who have the traps that would beat any one of them. I'm not sitting here saying do it, Marjorie Taylor. I'm just saying if you did, I believe in you.
You and make an excellent point.
She would out-pull up all of you fools. And let's get a 286-foot platform built and then have her do that.
We could retire the national debt. We'll put it on pay-per-view.
Oh, I love this.
She could be, you know, have people challenge MTG for the most pull-ups dangling over the floor of the Capitol.
I love this. Making money, making moves.
We're doing it for the taxpayers. Doing it for the taxpayers. All right. News is coming. Go yell at this guy. Go yell at him. Just a thought. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here for our public service announcement. Any questions for her, just text them in. You can call at 844-967-2789. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.